I want to thank each one for coming and staying. And as you probably know, the purpose of this meeting tonight is to tell you from the good book how you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Not think so, not hope so, but know so. Book of Hebrews, please, chapter 10. We appreciate each one that's come. Hebrews chapter 10, the 39th verse, and a little phrase at the close of the verse, please. Hebrews 10, verse 39. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. 1 Timothy, please, chapter 1, verse 15. 15th verse, first chapter of the Epistle of 1 Timothy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Chapter 3. Verse number 7, the last part of the verse. The last part of verse 7, chapter 3, 1 Timothy. The snare of the devil. Chapter 6. Verse 9. That they will be rich fall into the temptation and a snare and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the 17th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. But Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. One more reading, Psalm 124. Verse 7. Seventh verse, 124th Psalm. Our soul is escaped as of a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We are escaped. So I want to read. It might seem like a little strange reading here and there, but we trust that God will bless what we've heard and give help to tie the thoughts together this evening. The saving of the soul. Man is a triune being. Body, a soul, and a spirit. The soul lives forever. We want to remind ourselves that we live in a day and age today when sometimes there's a lot of different voices, a lot of different teachings as to what does the Word of God really mean. I want to remind you that error does not become truth because it's widely accepted. And truth does not become error even though it stands alone. I'm very thankful for the Holy Scriptures, able to make us wise unto salvation, exceedingly clear how to be saved, exceedingly clear how you and I can know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and exceedingly clear about our difficulty and our problems. Some of the verses that I read tonight were maybe not quite as common as sometimes in a gospel meeting, but I read about a snare. Some of you here are very, very familiar with them, and others maybe not as much. In one of my packs, I keep a snare, coil of brass. Something goes wrong in the bush, you can set the little snare in the branches where the rabbit goes, and you'll have a little dinner. And if you were to go to Newfoundland and travel with some of the men there sometime, and maybe they put you on a little snowmobile or a skidoo and stop it in the snow, and what do you see? Snow and more snow. No leaves on the trees. Well, look closely. Don't see anything, really. Well, there's a snare there. It's a little wire in the branches and a little trail, and Mr. Rabbit or Mr. Fox or so is probably going to be caught before sunrise in the morning. Will you put that snare there? No. He says, I have a trained eye. I'm a trapper, and I can see it. Well, I want to remind ourselves that there are snares out there set by the prince and the power of the air to hinder you from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. A number of years ago in Newfoundland, they used to use a big cable with a sliding cam lock and catch the moose. Moose wasn't too happy about it. But there's one thing about any snare. The more you resist, the tighter it gets. Snares are still used in bear hunting in Newfoundland and Labrador. Some of the victims will eat their paws and their legs off. In Okanagan, Washington one time, with meetings, I got to one farmhouse there and it had a box. I don't know how to give you the metric dimensions, so it was about 3 feet by about 7 feet by about 3 feet high, made out of 1-inch chicken wire. And the top didn't have a roof that was angled up, but it was a top that was roofed angled down with a little slot in the middle. And inside that box, if it's called a box, was cherry branches, leaves and nice red, bright cherries. It wasn't really a snare, but it was a trap to catch Mr. Blackbird, who was hurting the harvest there in the orchard, because every time the cherry gets pecked, it's only good for juice. So we're used to in life snares of different types. Some use snares to catch fish. It's really a fish trap. They get in and they can't get out. But I'm thinking tonight that there might be a snare around some tonight that's hindering you and keeping you from coming to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. You say, what might be some of the snares that hinder? Well, first of all, let me ask you a very basic question. Do you believe that this book, the Bible, is true? Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, it is mine. That holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If you do not believe this book is true, if you do not believe that this book, the Holy Bible, has been inspired by God, then I want to just remind you, you're exceedingly far from the kingdom tonight. Before anyone ever gets saved, they're going to realize the book is true. And they're going to come to a piercing, pulsing conclusion that what this Bible teaches is true, and I need it. And one of the most difficult situations, one of the most difficult things to swallow, if you want to put it in those terms, is I am a guilty, vile sinner heading down to the awful place called hell. People say that's not politically correct. It's biblically correct. And we want to remind ourselves this evening that there is a snare out there. We find it in Galatians chapter 1. If any man bring any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. I meet many that tell me where they go, they hear the gospel. I'm very thankful for everyone that preaches a clear gospel message. But if contained on that message is adding to or taking from what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary to gain so great salvation, it is no gospel or no good news message at all. Some would say we ask them at the close of the meeting to raise their hand. Others would say we ask them to come forward, and others to say this little thing. I want to remind you, that's not a gospel message. And I want to remind you that tactics that take away from the work of the Holy Spirit only give false professors, if anything. That salvation is a work of God. And it's work in the heart of a man or a woman by the Holy Spirit. And it begins with the conviction of sin. We mentioned earlier today the woman at the well. I would sure like to have this living water. I would sure like to be saved. I would sure like to be in heaven. Go call thy husband. I don't have any. You've had five. And the man you're living with, the most embarrassing moment you might say is not thy husband. What was the Lord Jesus graciously, tenderly doing? Was pointing out her sinnership. And it's a snare of the devil, I'm all right. I'm not really that bad. There is none righteous. No, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In Eastern Oregon one time, a lady was hanging up clothes, her husband was in the backyard, and I invited her to a tent meeting. She says, I don't need anything like that. Well, I says, why not? She says, I have never sinned. I said, that's a remarkable statement. I says, do I have permission to ask your husband in the backyard to confirm that you have never sinned? She says, that won't be necessary. You got me. Every one of us has sinned from our hat to our heels. And until you are willing to acknowledge your sinnership before God, you will never come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. I come into 2 Peter, and a snare that's out there is cunningly devised fables. You could make the list long as the hours are till the midnight hour. Cunningly devised fables, penned by the prince and the power of the air, to blind people and to keep them from coming to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Remember the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached or proclaimed the forgiveness of sins. Through this man. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be by the law of Moses. I am so thankful that the Holy Scriptures are clear and concise. It's not complicated. It's not cloudy. It's not like a dust storm or a snowstorm or any way you want to put it. There's only one Savior. There's only one way. There's only one mediator. And that holy, spotless one, who freely, willingly, voluntarily went to the place called Calvary, I want you to know wants to come along in your life tonight and cut the snares that bind. He wants to come along in your life and give you forgiveness of sin, wants to give you peace. Who's a pardoning God like thee, and who has grace so rich and free? Nobody will ever get saved until they want it more than anything else in this world. We are not preaching you can have salvation in the world. We are not preaching you can have your sin and keep your sin and keep practicing your sin and living in sin. No, no, no. We're preaching there's forgiveness from sin. And it's alone through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people don't rightly divide the Word of God. And it becomes a snare or a hindrance in understanding what does the Word of God really mean. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 16, says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And you know what the technical difficulty is sometimes? People don't read the whole verse. And they see, there it is, you have to be baptized to be saved. And when you read the verse and when you come to the context of the verse, he that believeth not shall be damned. Salvation is through faith in Christ. Salvation comes in a moment's time. Salvation is not man-produced. Salvation is not an intellectual experience. where you learn a little more and you learn a little more and all of a sudden you've learned enough and you know whom to know is life eternal. But salvation is an illumination to a lost, perishing sinner what Christ did for them on the cross of Calvary. I want to ask you tonight, from the second rows all the way back, how did you get saved? How did you have your sins forgiven? This is for all eternity. Many things in life, we can make a mistake, we take another run at it, we take the wrong turn, or however you want to develop it, but you cannot neglect or reject so great salvation and make heaven at the end of life's journey. The most solemn issues before you are come in this Holy Scriptures tonight. There's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun, and there's only one Savior, and there's no second chance. I want to mention tonight, and you might find it strange, but I doubt it, that you cannot get saved any time you want. Common error with Christians, children, and they've grown up under the Word of God. Well, you say it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Absolutely right. But I want to remind you, coupled in this so great salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is not striving and the Holy Spirit is not working, you will never come to know Him whom to know is life eternal. And that's why the Word of God says, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Mr. Lloyd Baldhagen was a preacher amongst us in Mississippi. I never had the privilege to meet him. He's with the Lord now. He used to like to raise ducks. He says, I decided it would be proper to help the little ducklings sometimes get out of the shell. He says, I could hear them scratching. And I decided I would crack the shell open to help them get out. He says, I came to an astounding conclusion. Every duckling that I helped get out of the shell was a dead duck. And he says, I realized any sinner that I push too far and I go beyond the work of the Spirit of God and I make it mechanical, I've got a dead duck. A false professor. Somebody that thinks they have Christ and they haven't got anything because the Spirit of God has never entered in. I wonder if there are any dead ducks in the meeting tonight. You say, a dead duck? Yeah. You've made a profession. And you've got no more power than before and no more change in your life than before and you wonder what's going on. I meet them from time to time in the streets and the new ways, the highways, the byways, any way you want to call it. I'm a Christian. If there hasn't been a change, there hasn't been conversion. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. In the book of Proverbs, there's a double mention. Every time there's a double mention in the Word of God, it's doubly important. You come to chapter 14, you come to chapter 16, and there's two identical verses. There's a way that seems right unto a man. And the end thereof are the ways of death. A snare. Holding, keeping, binding. A way that seems right. Sounds good. If it's not found in the book, it's not good. I come to John chapter 3. Except a man be born again, cannot see, cannot enter the kingdom of God. The new birth is not man produced. The new birth is not turning over a new leaf. The new birth is being rescued from above through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross at Calvary. Sometimes people say, well, that's the way you believe. This is the way I believe. Never a value to argue the Scriptures. Would you allow me to open the Word of God with you? Would you allow me to show you a few little verses that are found in the Word of God? You see, the God of this world has blinded the minds of men and women lest they come to know Christ. I've got a lot of time. I've got a lot of things going on. Certainly a loving God wouldn't put me in hell. A loving God warns you about it, that you might flee from the wrath to come, and by faith you might get to the foot of the cross. Remember Agrippa in the book of Acts, chapter 26? He had an astounding statement. There's no other statements after that about him that I know of. Almost persuaded me to be a Christian. I almost took the step. I almost took God at His Word. I almost rested in what He did on the cross. Develop it how you want. It's a snare. Was it the fear of man that brings a snare? Was it pomp or popularity? Were there too many other things going on at the same time? We live in a day and age today where it seems, in the amount of driving I do, that there are more drivers on the highway that wander around than ever before, even with the semi-trucks. And I realize he's not falling asleep, but he's multitasking. And he's got some little plastic thing in front of him, and he's pushing some buttons or doing something. And the next thing I know, the semi-truck's moving over, and the next thing I know, I'm putting the gas pedal down to get by him. Multitasking, the world calls it today. If you keep multitasking, you're never going to get to heaven. Because you're going to have to stop in your tracks and see what this book says and be willing to take God at His Word. He loves you and cares for you and sent His Son to die for you. And He wants you to know you're not right. And He wants you to know you're full of sin and putrefying sores. Remember Luke chapter 12? There was a rich man. He was a rich fool. And the personal pronoun occurs around 5 times in that little portion. You say, what was his problem? He had gold handcuffs. I've seen stainless steel ones. I've watched military men and crowd control with tie wraps for hands and feet and all. You say, where do you get gold handcuffs? Is there such a thing? Yeah, there is. Going after the gold of this world. Going after the here and now. I haven't got time for Christ. I haven't got time for the Bible. I haven't even got 60 minutes or 30 minutes to come and hear the Word of God. I'm just too busy. Remember the Great Supper in the Scriptures? I've taken a wife. I cannot come. I got 5 yoke of oxen. I'm too busy. I've just bought some land. I've got to see how it is. You know what their problem was? They weren't hungry. That's why they wouldn't come to the feast. And there was just all types of snares or excuses hindering from coming to Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We've eaten and drunk in thy presence. We've done many marvelous miracles in thy name. I never knew you. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Doing is not salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A young girl in Terrace a number of years ago said, can I talk to you after the meeting? Certainly. My heart sank with the question, but she's gotten saved since. She says, Mr. Fitzpatrick, when will I know that I have believed enough that I am saved? Can I remind you, it's not how much you believe. It's not how hard you believe. It's who the belief and the trust is in. Is it in what He did at the place called Calvary? Then there's the self-reliance snare. Revelation 3. We're rich. We're in need of nothing. The snare of self-complacency. Hebrews 2 and 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect, not reject, neglect so great salvation? 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, Christ has not sent me to baptize, but to preach, proclaim the good news message, the gospel, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. At the close of this meeting, I want to try and point you to Christ. I want to pray that you'll take and put aside all the snares and the gold handcuffs and all the things that are keeping you blinded from Christ. And realize on that cruel Roman cross, there's one that loved you and gave himself for you. The cross demonstrates God's love. The cross draws to a person, not a religion, not a creed, not different stations as some might say. It draws to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross tells us there's no distinction of persons. He's no respecter of persons. He loves us all exactly the same. He wills not the death of any. The grace of God hath appeared to all men. Whosoever is a prominent word that weaves through the Holy Scriptures. And what you do with the lovely man of Calvary, who freely, willingly, voluntarily laid down his life to give you and I everlasting life, will determine where your soul will be for all eternity. The cross divides, and the cross delivers. It was a finished work, nothing to be added to. And we live in a day when all different snares come along. You need to do this, you need to say that. All kinds of things to take eyes off him whom to know is life eternal. The only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What you do with the Lord Jesus Christ will determine your eternal destiny. He alone can save. He alone can forgive. He had a crown of thorns on his brow. Nails in the hands and the feet. Face beaten and battered. Hairs plucked from his brow. Back as a plowed field. And in the lone dark hours on the cross, wave after wave, billow after billow, thy fierce wrath lieth hard upon me. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by and see any sorrow like unto my sorrow, whereby the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger? He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, with what he did, you and I can be saved. You can be delivered from the chains that bind. The snares can be broken tonight. You can have peace and pardon. And when you put your head on a little mat or a little pillow or whatever it might be, you can know of a truth, it is well with my soul. Not because of anything that you have done, because of what he did. In the book of Philippians, we read of the death of the cross. I want to remind you tonight, he didn't die as a man dies. He laid down his life. He said, it's finished. The soldier took a spear and pierced his side, and out with flowed blood and water. Salvation was all procured before that. It only fulfilled Scripture. I read in the Word of God in Philippians, there are enemies of the cross. I don't want to insult you tonight. But if you've never trusted him, you're an enemy of the cross. you ever try to help somebody? Maybe for a number of years. And all of a sudden, get away from me. I don't want anything to do with you anymore. Do you despise the riches of His grace? Are you telling the Savior tonight, get away, I don't want to hear about it, I don't want it? Because He died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Freely, willingly, voluntarily. I come into John's Gospel and I find that they rested on the words of the Lord Jesus. I come to 2 Chronicles in picture form. I find that they rested on the words of Hezekiah. And I want to tell you tonight that salvation is available through resting, through relying on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross of Calvary for you. John chapter 3, verse 16, as my brother in the Lord mentioned already tonight, for God so loved you and me, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes or trusts in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The book of Colossians reminds us that we have peace through His blood. And the Holy Scriptures remind us our sins were all nailed, as it were, on the tree. All that we did, He freely, willingly, voluntarily paid for. And tonight at about 8:05, Matthew's Gospel reminds us, come unto me, all ye labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I read an account, maybe a month and a half ago, over in Korea, South Korea. Two U.S. servicemen were walking in the streets of a town, and they looked up three stories, smoke billowing out a window. There was a mother there with a little child, holding it out. They ran in a store and got blankets. They got the bystanders around to hold them like a trampoline. And a few others ran in a store and put pillows underneath. And they pleaded with the mother, drop the child. Drop the baby. Finally did. She then took her second child, dropped him out the window. And then she took the third child and dropped him out the window. And then she leaped out, her husband said, like a bird. And all were safe, sound, and secure. When you take a step of faith, and when you rest in God's Word, and when you rely on what He did for you on the cross of Calvary, the good book says, you will have everlasting life. Please be careful of the snares out there. You can't see them till it's too late. And the God of this world wants to keep you blinded. And God wants to draw near in love and kindness and tenderness. He wants you to know even though you've sinned, you can have forgiveness. He wants you to know His Son paid all completely for your sins on the cross. And on one of the seven cries it was, it is finished, paid in full. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for the privilege to read.